Well, that was a mechanism, a thing of numbers, and numbers had to be perfect. She put her head on one side again. How do you test to that accuracy? She said. They'd often asked him that in the guild, once his talent had revealed itself. He hadn't been able to answer the question then, either, because it didn't make sense. You built a clock to be accurate. A portrait painter painted a picture. If it looked like the subject, then it was an accurate picture. If you built the clock right, it would be accurate. You didn't have to test it. You'd know. I'd know, he said. We want you to build a clock that is very accurate. How accurate? Accurate. But I can only build to the limit of my materials, said Jeremy. I have developed certain techniques, but there are things like the vibration of the traffic in the street, little changes in temperature, that sort of thing. Lady Lejeune was now inspecting a range of fat, imp-powered watches. She picked one up and opened the back. There was the tiny saddle and the pedals, but they were forlorn and empty. No imps, she said. I keep them for historical interest, said Jeremy. They were barely accurate to a few seconds a minute, and they'd stop completely overnight. They were only any good if your idea of accuracy was around two-ish. He grimaced when he used the term. It felt like fingernails on a blackboard. How about Invar? Said the lady, still apparently inspecting the Museum of Clocks. Jeremy looked shocked. The alloy? I didn't think anyone outside the guild knew about that. And it is very expensive, worth a lot more than its weight in gold. Lady Lejeune straightened up. Money is no object, she said. Would Invar allow you to reach total accuracy? No, I already use it. It's true that it is not affected by temperature, but there are always barriers. Smaller and smaller interferences become bigger and bigger problems. It's Zeno's paradox. Ah, yes. He was the Ephebian philosopher who said that you couldn't hit a running man with an arrow, wasn't he? Said the lady. In theory, because... But Zeno came up with four paradoxes, I believe, said Lady Lejeune. They involved the idea that there is such a thing as the smallest possible unit of time. And it must exist, mustn't it? Consider the present. It must have a length, because one end of it is connected to the past, and the other is connected to the future. And if it didn't have a length, then the present couldn't exist at all. There would be no time for it to be the present in. Jeremy was suddenly in love. He hadn't felt like this since he'd taken the back off the nursery clock when he was 14 months old. Then, you're talking about the fabled tick of the universe, he said, and no gear cutter could possibly make gears that small. It depends on what you would call a gear. Have you read this? Lady Lejeune waved a hand at one of the trolls who lumbered over and dropped an oblong package on the counter. Jeremy undid it. It contained a small book. Grim Fairy Tales, he said. Read the story about the glass clock of Bart Shoeshine, said Lady Lejeune. Children's stories? Said Jeremy. What can they tell me? Who knows? We will call again tomorrow, said Lady Lejeune. To hear about your plans. In the meantime, here is a little token of our good faith. The troll laid a large leather bag on the counter. It clinked with the heavy, rich clink of gold. Jeremy didn't pay it a great deal of attention. He had quite a lot of gold. Even skilled clockmakers came to buy his clocks. Gold was useful because it gave him the time to work on more clocks. These earned him more gold. Gold was, more or less, something that occupied the space between clocks. I can also obtain Invar for you in large quantities, she said. That will be part of your payment, although I agree that even Invar will not serve your purpose. Mr. Jeremy, both you and I know that your payment for making the first truly accurate clock will be the opportunity to make the first truly accurate clock, yes? He smiled nervously. It would be wonderful if it could be